The Minnesota Timberwolves are at 500. And now that might not be very exciting for a lot of NBA franchises, for a lot of sports franchises. I think, John, the way this team has fought back to 500, the fact that they are currently fairly healthy and they are playing beautiful basketball, I find all this very encouraging. But you're the expert. You tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think, Jim, this is when you look at what they've had to endure, and they have been one of the teams hit hardest by COVID, by all of the absences, to have all five of their starters out for certain stretches. Now Patrick Beverley is kind of nursing a groin, and they keep on just humming the way that they are. Now they're playing lesser opponents right now, but they are bludgeoning these opponents. And I think that the most encouraging thing so far about this team, and I'm going to write about it at The Athletic this week, is that we have seen throughout the years this organization and this roster just have a hard time meshing, coming together, having good chemistry, getting along with each other. Not just the Jimmy Butler years. There's plenty of other instances that have kind of cropped up over the last 15 years where they just never seem to connect. This team is very connected and they root for each other. They want each other to do very well. And I think you're starting to see that really kind of trickle onto the court and the on-court product, because they are moving the basketball and sharing it at, in a way that they just were not earlier on in the season. You have, against Houston, they had 37 assists, I believe. That over the last four games, all four wins that they've had, Jim, they're averaging like 33 assists per game. That's an unbelievable number. They are the big question was, once D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and Karl-Anthony Towns came back from their stints on the COVID list, their high usage guys, would they kind of adapt to the style of play that was going on while they were out, with a bunch of role players just really moving the ball and playing together? And they are doing that. So you have Anthony Edwards looking for Karl-Anthony Towns in transition. You have Anthony Edwards passing up open three-pointers to get it to D'Angelo Russell for better open three-pointers. You have Russell and Jared Vanderbilt kind of working this beautiful pick-and-roll game that is really making a big difference for them. And so to me, it's not just that they are winning games, which is notable because they are back to 500, as you said now, at 20-20 with a game against New Orleans on Tuesday that is very, very winnable. But it's the way that they are playing out there. And they are a very connected group. They play incredibly hard on defense. I think they're seventh or sixth in the NBA in defensive rating right now. And it's just a likable team. You know, we've talked a lot over the last few weeks, really over this last whole season, about the Vikings and how disconnected and how unlikable they are. It's just hard to watch them every single week. And so many times before, it's been hard to watch the Wolves. Even the Jimmy Butler year, you just knew that they didn't like each other. They didn't enjoy playing together, that this wasn't sustainable. These guys are busting their butts for each other. And I think that's an admirable quality that really, I think, is starting to resonate with fans. And I think gives them a chance to be more successful as a group than the sum of their parts are. And that's just an admirable quality for a team. They're just really, really likable right now. And that's an intangible thing and hard to put your hands around, but you just know it when you see it.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I'm not around the team like you are, but I like watching their games. I like the flow of offense. I like the way they share the ball. I like the way they cut and create openings for each other. It just, there's a flow to them. And you know, I won't use the old stupid line, you know, the things don't show up in the box score, because these days everything shows up in the box score in some measurable analytic. But I just like watching the flow of the game. I like watching the flow of the offense, the way they play for each other, the way they share the ball. I think it's great stuff. This is the John Krasinski Show at TalkNorth.com. We have tons of good sports content on this network. We have tons of good outdoor content. We have some variety shows. Check out TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen, subscribe at your favorite podcast app, whether it's to this show or the network as a whole. John also contributes with me to the Viking Update Show. Check out that show as well. We have a great lineup. You know the lineup. Check it all out. Thanks to our sponsors, Head Flyer Brewing, TSR Injury Law, Memorial Blood Centers, Manscaped.com, Tuttle's Eat Play Bowl, and All Energy Solar, AllEnergySolar.com. Our next live show, if I haven't mentioned it, January 24th, 7 p.m. at Tuttle's Eat Play Bowl in Hopkins. We will do a pregame with Tin Cup Whiskey at 6:15. The show is 7-ish to 8-ish, somewhere in that range. We'll take live questions. We will have giveaways. It's a lot of fun. Come out and see us. So does Finch get credit for the offensive flow and production, or is there kind of a mastermind who works as an offensive coordinator who should get some of it as well?
Well, I think that, you know, Finch and Pablo Prigioni are the kind of the main coordinators of the offense, if you will. It's certainly mostly Finch's offense, but I do think, honestly, Jim, that really what deserves credit right now for from that side of the ball is Anthony Edwards, in terms of the way that he has changed his approach. You know, and at the start of the season, really what we saw was a team offensively that when they were in the half court, it was ugly. It really looked like just three guys taking turns trying to get their own thing. And part of that is just the youth of Edwards and them trying to kind of get him into the flow of the game and get him sharing the ball and moving it and making smart passes and making good decisions. And, you know, there, because he has all of this athleticism and really, you know, anytime he wants, he can slow the game down, go one-on-one with his defender and probably beat him. But that really kind of sometimes makes for a difficult flow for the offense. And when other guys are just standing around watching him dribble, that's not productive. And so really, since he has come back from his COVID stay, and whether it was he was watching, you know, the way that the Jalen Noels of the world were kind of playing in his stead, or whether it was just kind of maybe him getting a little more comfortable with what Finch and Prigioni were asking him to do, he's just been a more active, willing passer. He had 6 assists against the Rockets. He had 7 against the Thunder. You know, he has really kind of started to figure out that he doesn't just he can do more. He can impact the game in more ways than just dunking over someone or hitting a three. Oh, by the way, he's also shooting remarkably well from three.
Yep.
You know, lately too, which makes him even more devastating. So when you have a young player who is starting to grasp, I think, all of the concepts and really just how to manipulate a game, he's used that word, Jim. He said, I'm figuring out how to manipulate the game. I think like that is just such a driver for what they do, because when he does that, then Vanderbilt like can cut off of things and get open layups and dunks. Vanderbilt had 8 dunks against the Rockets just from smart cutting and smart movement. And then you have Towns shooting the way that he does, and Russell's finally knocking down shots from the outside as well. And so like that just kind of makes the offense, the half court offense is singing right now, like in a way that it has not that it did not in the first half of the season. And it's just, I think it's a young man growing up, and it's also just a group of players that are just really getting used to playing together, and that it's making for some really enjoyable basketball to watch.
Yes. Listen, Russell had a really bad shooting night a few games ago, and it was a reminder that when he's off, he can be way off and can really damage the team. Where does he fit in all this, though? I mean, is he someone you give credit to for the offensive flow and the way Anthony Edwards is playing, or is he just kind of a guy who is either going to make his shots or he's not?
Yeah, no, I think that, Jim, this has been his best year all around. It's been his worst shooting year, but it's been his best year collectively just as a player that he's had. And he's playing great defense off the ball, really, really smart positioning. He is the kind of the chief communicator on defense and is kind of calling out the sets that opponents are going at. And so he's really quarterbacking that way. He's also been a great passer and quarterback of the offense. I mean, if you look back, even, you know, he had 10 assists against Houston, 12 assists against Oklahoma City, 14 at Utah, 12 at Dallas, 11 at Brooklyn, 11 at Indiana. Like, he's really piling those up too. And so the Timberwolves record when he does play is 18-12. So that tells you like how effective he is. Now, part of that, Jim, is they're a little thin at point guard. And so when he is out of the games and you're playing Jordan McLaughlin there more, you're playing Jalen Noel more, earlier on in the season it was Bolmaro who was a disaster. There's a huge drop off. So his net ratings and stuff kind of benefit just from how bad the options behind him are. But he has been very, very good in like the other aspects besides shooting. Now, you know, and here, let's veer off for a second and give Chris Finch credit, because when Russell, coming back from COVID against Oklahoma City, is 3-for-12, 0-for-5 from three, not taking smart shots either, like really kind of forcing things, Finch sat him down in the fourth quarter, stayed with Jalen Noel down the stretch, and it was the right move. And I think like things like that, you know, Anthony Edwards was benched early in a game for a little while because he was playing poor defense. I think it was against the Lakers. And so Finch is holding these guys accountable, and that helps to kind of drive in what's important. But now you have seen the last two games, Russell 11-for-12 from the field, 4-for-5 from three against Oklahoma City. Then he went 8-for-14 against Houston and 5-for-9 from three. When he starts to knock down shots, in addition to everything else that he is doing, oh man, like the Wolves are a hard team to handle. But he is still pretty inconsistent with the shot. So that's something that they absolutely want to see even out. But the good news is that when he is not shooting well, as long as he's not taking the dumb early in the shot clock, like 28 footers, as long as he eliminates those, he's finding other ways to help them win, which is, you know, much different from the D'Angelo Russell that we're used to seeing with the Timberwolves.
No question. Hey, tell me about Head Flyer Brewing.
That's right, Jim. So Head Flyer Brewing, brand new kind of addition to the Talk North family. They are located on Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis, just off of 35W. Very accessible. They got a great tap room. My wife, Gretchen, and I have been going there for years. Right now, they feature the West Coast IPA. It's a new one. They have it's a classic IPA taste, clean, crisp finish with dank citrus hop flavors. Really good beer. I love the Wicked Jump Shot. I love It Was All a Dream, the Hazy IPA. They have all sorts of great beers to check out. They've been a family favorite of ours for a long, long time. Again, it's Head Flyer Brewing. You can find them on headflyerbrewing.com. You can go on social media on Head Flyer Brewing and see some of the specials that they have. Go in and tell them the John Krasinski Show sent you and order a West Coast IPA, a prolific West Coast IPA, and you won't regret it.
Hoping that Steve Terry from TSR Injury Law will be able to join us again at Tuttle's. A great guy to have talking from a fan's perspective, also a fan's perspective who gets the inside scoop sometimes on what's going on with the Timberwolves. And of course, Steve represents TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME.
We hear questions like these all the time. Can TSR Injury Law help me if I'm hurt on a motorcycle? Yeah. How about if I'm hurt on a boat? Yes. It's simple. If you've been injured, it's TSR time. Call us today for a free consultation at 612-TSR-TIME.
We'd also like to thank Memorial Blood Center, doing very important work.
Ever know someone who's needed blood? Ever known someone who's needed blood 60 times, 70, 100? You might know someone living with sickle cell disease. Our local Memorial Blood Centers is calling and willing all eligible donors to step up and donate. It takes all blood types to help save lives, and a diverse donor base helps a diverse range of hospital patients. Learn more online or schedule an appointment by visiting mbc.org or by calling 1-888-448-3253.
So what do you make of the way Jarrett Vanderbilt, as you said, you already said, hey, he cuts, and when the offense is flowing and people are sharing the ball, he's going to get some dunks out of it, and of course that's a great way to pad your stats. But he's playing end-to-end good basketball, it seems to me.
Jim, I think he really absolutely deserves to be in the conversation for most improved player. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that designation goes to maybe just a younger guy who just gets more minutes. And so his stats jump up because of that. That's not Jared Vanderbilt, Jim. I mean, Vanderbilt is in a starting role, and he has not just improved from last year to this year. He's improved like from week to week. So at the start of the season, you know, what opponents were doing was totally ignoring him in the offense and just doubling on Towns and just making life hard because Vanderbilt can't shoot from outside. And so he was just a non-threat. And the Wolves were really having a hard time while that offense was bogged down with Edwards and Russell and Towns just kind of holding the ball and not moving it as well. They were really having a hard time of making Vanderbilt an asset on offense. But as the season has gone along, as they have figured out how to move the ball, now Vanderbilt is figuring out how to cut off of the back door to get open dunks, or he's running that pick and roll with D'Angelo Russell very, very effectively to get himself opportunities. And he's catching the ball much better. He has early on in the season, I mean, it was Troy Williamson. Like, he could not catch a pass. He's catching the ball a lot. He also is just a freaking monster on the offensive glass. And so you're seeing so many times where the team misses a shot and the Wolves miss a lot of shots because, you know, they're still not a great shooting team, that Vanderbilt cleans up the offensive board. It's an easy put back for him for two, or he kicks for another open look from three for the Wolves. So he has become just essential to what they're doing offensively and defensively, where he guards all five positions. He's disruptive in the passing lanes. He creates turnovers and gets the team out in transition. He can handle the ball in the court. Against Houston, 21 points, 19 rebounds. He's averaging, like, every night he's up around 13, 14, 15 rebounds. It's remarkable. His motor, like his relentlessness, and the team just feeds off of that energy. So, you know, as important as Towns and Edwards and Russell are, and they are remarkably important to what they do, Vanderbilt is kind of like sneakily just right up on their level in terms of impact for what he does for this team on both ends. It's been a remarkable story. He deserves all the praise that he should be getting, whether you're talking about all defensive teams, whether you're talking about most improved, and you can tell just how respected he is in that locker room. They really, really want him to do well and get recognition. They played against the Rockets in Houston. Jared Vanderbilt is from Houston. He had a bunch of family and friends in the stands, and they were feeding him. Like, they were just trying everything they could to get him big numbers, and he delivered for them. And so, like, that's just, again, another sign of that synergy and that chemistry they have. But Vanderbilt is just essential to what these guys are doing right now.
I want to talk about Karl-Anthony Towns next. I want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton, our sales executive, Karen Cleary. Also let you know that utility costs are rising every year and it's unnecessarily costing you money, but it doesn't have to be that way with a new system from All Energy Solar. Even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month, and it's a locked-in price that won't change. So start saving and make the switch to All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com. Would also like to remind you, January 24th, 7 p.m. at Tuttle's, pregame with Tin Cup Whiskey at 6:15. Come out and say hello, ask live questions, win something. Also, now, for the moment you've been waiting for, it got me a little flustered there just anticipating it, but I do want to introduce John Krasinski and Manscaped.
That's right, Joe. I understand you're a little excited about this. You want to hear about the great products I'm human. Manscaped. And so, you know, it happens to us. Yeah, absolutely. Cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls this year and make the ball dropping into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code ATHLETIC for 20% off and free shipping. It's new year, new me with the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming. This year, take your package to the next level with their Performance Package 4.0 and brand new Ultra Premium Body Wash. A grooming routine isn't complete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver before showing off your 2022 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. And the new product that needs no introduction, the Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped, solves all three for the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine. But in the shower, I shower every day and hope you do too, the body wash smells great too. It's cologne infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling nice and moisturized. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code ATHLETIC.
So Towns is on a nice run here. Is that just him feeling good? Is that him meshing in the offense? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. So he, you know, he spent a bunch of time on the COVID list. He said he lost 15 pounds while he was down. So he was kind of sick. He missed, six games. And so he has come back. He came back. The first game is very rusty, 17 points, 16 boards, 6 of 14. But you see the shooting stroke rounding into form again. He had been talking lately about just how the three-pointer has not been falling for him at the clip that he's used to. He was 0 for 7 against Cleveland. He was 0 for 3 against Portland. He was, just 1 for 3 against Dallas, 0 for 2 against the Thunder, the second game of the Thunder last week. But he went 4 for 6 against Houston, 15 for 25 in field goals all around, and he scored 40 points. And so I think that you're seeing the shots start to come back, which is obviously very, very good for what the Wolves need from him from an outside perimeter shooting standpoint. He had 7 assists against the Rockets, 9 boards. He's got that very kind of all around Towns box score starting to come together. Really, really important for them because right now they have New Orleans on Tuesday, but then right after that, it's at Memphis, red hot Memphis, right? So the schedule is going to get a little more difficult here down the stretch in January. And so they're going to need Towns at, maximum capacity. So they're at Memphis on Thursday. Next Sunday, they're home against Golden State. They're at New York next week. They're at Atlanta, who's not playing well, but that's never an easy place to play. Then you got Brooklyn, you have Golden State and Phoenix and Utah coming up at the end of January. So the Wolves have been able to kind of fatten up a little bit on with the Clippers without Paul George, Thunder twice, Rockets, hopefully Pelicans tomorrow night. But if they can use this time to kind of get tapped into that rhythm again, chances to compete when the schedule gets tougher here.
There have been a lot of trade rumors out there lately, and we don't have to go through them one by one. Do you sense that this team is trying to make a deal and is intent on making a deal? And do you wonder, with the way the chemistry is developed on this roster, whether a deal might be a little risky?
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing to get into, Jim, because I do think we are getting closer now. We're basically a month away from the trade deadline, that there are real substantive conversations starting to be had here from teams. They're not messing around quite as much anymore. And they're going to really kind of look and see, if there's any kind of dance partners. The Wolves absolutely are having a lot of these conversations because they do believe that as well as they are playing, they still need improvements if they really want to kind of be a factor in the playoff hunt down the stretch here. They need more big bodies. They need probably more shooting if they can get it. They could use another playmaker off the bounce guy, though Jalen Noel's emergence has really helped them there. So they know that they are by no means a finished product. That said, Jim, you talk to people around the organization and they see like the net rating of the starting five when it's fully intact is astronomically better than any other starting five in the NBA. Yep. You see the chemistry that this team does have, and I do think it has reduced maybe some of the urgency to say, like, we need to go get another starter, like all-star caliber player, like right away, you know, a Miles Turner type of a player, you know, Ben Simmons. I mean, I think like they're certainly still having conversations on these guys, but I don't think that they look at it and say they are as desperate to make a move of that caliber unless they really think it's a just a sea change move. Now, obviously, Ben Simmons would probably qualify as a sea change move. I don't know that Miles Turner necessarily anymore qualifies as a sea change move, just given how effective Towns and Vanderbilt have been together in the front court. So it doesn't eliminate the possibility that the Wolves go and make a big move here in the next month. But I do think it is not as likely as I once thought it would be. And so I could see a scenario where they are in the market more for kind of role player, fringe players that just help their depth and address a few of their weaknesses, maybe coming from a bench perspective, that will help them match up with certain opponents and things, than it is like, hey, we got to go get, you know, a major piece in the starting group to go forward that way for us to have a chance. They feel like they have a chance right now, given where the Western Conference is, given how well they're playing, and that they are going to be buyers going into the deadline, but they may not be, it may not be this like this huge overwhelming move just because of how well everything has come together with the starting five.
And what a blessing to not feel this impending sense of desperation. We have to go get somebody to save our franchise. That's the mindset that leads to so many mistakes.
100%. Yep, absolutely. And that can be a thing. Let's also like, you know, look at it too. You have Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez who are coming in. They're very excited. They're very enthusiastic about being involved with this team. They really want to see this team make big jumps. And so when you have that dynamic, you can feel internal pressure, whether it's Sachin Gupta, whether it's Chris Finch, whether it's anybody involved, that like, okay, we better give these guys what they want. But I do think that the success that the team has shown when it's healthy, and it would be great if the Wolves could stay relatively healthy for a month or more here and really kind of give the leaders an accurate picture of who they are. But I do think that the way that they have performed when they're fully constituted has really kind of made everybody in the organization, ownership, front office, coaching, look at it and say, okay, there's more to work with here than maybe we initially thought. Certainly than what it was looking when they were on that six-game losing streak earlier on in the season. They have, through tweaks, through adjustments from player attitudes, from player approaches, from coaches and what they're doing, they have found a continuity and a kind of an approach that is really working for them right now. And I think that people are generally a lot more excited internally right now than they are sort of angst-ridden like they were earlier on in the year. And so, yes, I think that allows them to negotiate from more of a position of strength when they are out looking for deals. And I think that they will continue to operate that way, provided that they are able to even just kind of, you know, just kind of keep things rolling a little bit here. You know, they've won four in a row. It doesn't have to get to 10 in a row for them to convince them that they don't need, you know, major changes, but just stay in the hunt. Just, you know, just keep at it. And I think that that's just kind of the perspective that they seem to have right now as they go into really the trade season.
A couple of things from around the league I wanted to bring up. Listen, everybody liked Ja Morant coming out of college, but you particularly loved him, and he is been doing spectacular things and elevating his franchise kind of the way you would have expected.
It's a phenomenal story. The crazy things about it, Jim, is that when he missed a bunch of games earlier on in the season, Memphis like went 10-1 or something like that.
Yeah,
when
Tyus was
playing great. Like the whole team is just a really fun one to watch. You talk about another team that has great chemistry and continuity. I mean, the Grizzlies are right at the top of the league in terms of those vibes that they put out. But I mean, now that Morant is back, I mean, they've won 9 in a row. And like what he did to the Lakers the other night, I mean, he just made them look really, really old, you know. And I think that that's their overwhelming teams right now with the way that they are going about their business. And Morant is this force of nature. Like, I mean, the two-handed block that he had was unbelievable. He's shooting the ball at a much better clip than he had earlier on in his career, which makes him even harder to defend. And that's why, Jim, looking ahead to Thursday night at Memphis with the Wolves, it's going to be a really fun kind of litmus test. Because remember, the last time the Wolves and Grizzlies played, and Ja Morant played in this game, 138-95, Wolves just destroyed them. And that was very early in the season. The Grizzlies were playing terribly defensively. They just were out of sorts. And they got just rocked by the Wolves. And so I'm sure that's been on their mind going into that game on Thursday night. They play the Warriors on Tuesday night. And so so there's one more to go, both for the Wolves and the Grizzlies before that. But I can't wait for that game because I'm kind of assuming at this point, maybe this is dangerous, Jim. I'm kind of assuming that the Wolves are going to take care of business against the Pelicans on Tuesday. Then they'll have a five game winning streak going into that game against Memphis at Memphis. And that's going to be like a real test. Like, okay, how far has this team really come? Because even if they don't win, just be super competitive in there, just go toe to toe. But that Grizzlies team, man, they will knock you the heck out if you're not going in there just with all of your intensity and with all of your focus. And it's just, it's an incredibly fun team to watch for sure.
Yes. And the other note, we claim Klay Thompson because his father was in Minnesota for like 8 or 9 minutes. Klay Thompson comes back and he just said, you know, hey, just another game, just another Klay Thompson game, 18 shots in 20 minutes. A little bit of rust early, then he got it going. But hey, he's one of the good people in the game and one of the funnest. And when he and Steph are out there with Draymond, I mean, the Warriors are just as entertaining as basketball gets.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not the first person to say this. This isn't original, but it's true. Like, you look at around the league and find me a player with a higher overall approval rating than Klay Thompson. I just don't think you can find him. He's got such an endearing quality to his personality. He's a great, great player. He's just – there's no drama around him. There's no BS around him. And what he has been through – over the last couple of years with the Achilles, with the ACL, with all of it. I mean, the league was lesser without Klay Thompson involved. And now he comes back to a team that was 29-9 without him. And now you get back one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. You get one of the best shooters of all time to add to that roster. And you also have a cushion that they have built up without him, so they can just ease him back. He can take 18 shots in 20 minutes for the next month just to find his way, and they're going to be fine whether they win or whether they lose in it. And so come playoff time, when he has had a couple of months to play, I mean, all of a sudden, you already knew the Warriors were going to be very difficult to deal with, but they become, I think, in my mind, just the heavy favorites to win this whole thing. Assuming that everything goes good with Klay and that he is kind of back close to what he was before all of these injuries. And then you add Wiggins, who's playing great for them. I mean, they are a monster team, man. And we get to see them coming up a couple of times now, you know, against the Wolves. And so that'll be another really fun litmus test to see, you know, see where they are and see if they can, you know, hang in with clearly the front runners for the championship right now.
And who knows? The Timberwolves could end up playing in the playoffs too. There are a lot of possibilities.
They always pay, and they, yeah, the Wolves. Wolves always, for whatever reason, the Wolves always play the Warriors tough. You know, they've beaten them plenty of times in the earlier season. And so there's just matchups and things that seem to go in their favor. So we get to see them Sunday. Then they're at the Golden State Warriors again on January 27th. And so, you know, just get to a couple of bites at that apple and just really look at, okay, you know, does it still hold? Like, are the matchups still there? Or is just with the addition of Wiggins, with the addition of Kuminga coming off the bench, sorry, Wolves fans, but it's been a really still, even as well as D'Angelo Russell is playing, that's a win for the Warriors, no question about it, in that deal. But, you know, Towns just always has his way with the Warriors. And so we'll see how that goes. That's what I'm very excited about for the next couple of weeks here in January, is you have this team that seems to be coming together, that seems to be finding itself, really playing well. And now you step up in the weight class. Now you get Memphis. Now you get Golden State. Now you get Brooklyn. Now you get Phoenix. You get Utah again. You get Denver. Like, you know, if they really want to make a move and really want to let people know that this is a little different product, a couple of wins in some of those games would certainly go a long way for that.
Let's get a final thought from John on anything he likes in the entire world. Want to remind you that at TalkNorth.com, we have a great sports lineup. We have Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, Cheryl Reeve, Anthony LaPanta, Michael Russo, Jeff Diamond, John Krasinski, John Millay, and many more, as they say. Tons of good outdoor content. We keep growing the network, and we are able to grow the network because you listen and support our sponsors. We do appreciate it. Final thought from John.
Yeah, just I continue to just be really impressed by Jalen Noel and what he is giving them. Now he's playing in that 18, 20 minute a night type of a role off the bench, but he's getting to those mid-range shots and where he's comfortable. And just like the kinds of buckets that just get you from one stretch with the starters to the next without much of a problem. And against the Rockets, 5 rebounds and 5 assists as well, 3 steals. Like, he's just playing so, so well for them. He absolutely, Finch keeps giving Beasley big minutes, and that's deserved. They need to for trade purposes and for his own kind of well-being. But to have Jalen Noel emerge as a combo guard who is super reliable from an offensive standpoint has just meant such a big difference for what they can do, and makes them so much deeper that, you know, that's a big time development for the Wolves here.
Good stuff from John. Thanks to Brandon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. And remember, January 24th at Tuttle, 7 p.m. See you there.